my friends. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood with Zion Baptist Church here in beautiful Benton, Tennessee, gateway to the Cherokee National Forest. I want to thank you for joining us again for worship and a message from God's Word. I also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook at Zion Baptist Church Benton and drop us an email and let us know how God has blessed you. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Well, good morning. And thank you, Faye and Terry, for those specials. Two beautiful songs to start our service off with. Pastor Mike asked me if I would stand in for him in his absence this week and next week. And at first the thought overwhelmed me, but due to his confidence, here I am. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I am a teacher of the senior adult men's Sunday school class. And this is a much bigger class than I'm usually addressing. I want to talk to you today about a subject that God led me to talk to you about, and it's going to be a Bible study. That's the format that I'm most familiar with. And you know, it's amazing how God works. He works in such mysterious ways. And he sent me a message of what I was to talk to you about today. And he didn't send it to me in an audible voice. He just sent it to me in the form of an email that I received. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit later on. But today, I want to talk to you about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And I have been absolutely amazed as I got into this study and did research on the internet and in the Bible and in some books that some folks were kind enough to loan to me and give to me. It is a subject that I could probably go on all day long about. But of course, I'm restricted by time. And I will get you all out in time for lunch, I promise. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time. He preached over 200 years ago in the 1800s in London, England. And he credited his success to the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. He firmly believed that the spiritual transformations that occurred throughout the book of Acts were only the beginning of the mighty works of the Holy Spirit and what it intends to do. He stressed over and over that nothing about the Holy Spirit has diminished since Pentecost. Indeed, he felt that the Pentecost was not the pinnacle of the church's experience, but only the first unveiling of what could and should happen. He called to the church to receive and live up to the full potential of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read that last sentence to you again. I think it's extremely important. He called to the church to receive and live up to the full potential of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you please open them to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Verses 5 through 16. If you have found the Gospel of John 16, please stand in the honor of reading of God's holy word. Only if you're able, if you're unable to stand, God certainly understands. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning. But now I am going away to him who sent me. And not one of you asked me, where are you going? Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day in your wondrous creation of life. We pray that we know the power of your Holy Spirit is stronger than our weaknesses. We know that apart from him, we are powerless and can do nothing. Father, I pray that each person here today will sense your Spirit's power, direction, and guidance as we go about our lives in this coming week, and that we will act in that power for the furtherment of your word with all those that we encounter. Amen. Please be seated. I mentioned to you that God didn't speak to me in audible terms. I've heard people talk about God speaking to them, and I've often wondered why hasn't he spoken to me? Well, he did speak to me. Just after Pastor Mike asked me to bring this message to you. As I said earlier, I received a message by email that told me exactly what I was to talk to you about this morning. And I'd like to read it to you. It's an article that I received from Dr. Tony Evans. I'm sure some of you have read some of his books, listened to some of his sermons. He's a great preacher. I received this on the 27th of July, and it's entitled The Raging Battle. I receive daily emails from Dr. Tony Evans through The Alternative View. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so you don't do what you want. That's from Galatians 5, verses 16 through and 17. Dr. Evans goes on to say, the very Spirit of God has taken up residence in our lives. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God wants us to express His mind, His thoughts, His desires, and His will through our mortal bodies. But for us to see this happen, we need to be under the Holy Spirit's control. While this is taking place, we are going to experience conflict within ourselves. This is one way we can know we are Christians. If we have no battles raging within, we are probably not saved. There is no opposition within us. God says the flesh and the spirit are total opposites. They are not going to get along with each other at all. How do we know the difference between the flesh and the Holy Spirit within us? The spirit will want to please God, and the flesh will want to please ourselves. That's why the war is going on inside us is good. Not bad. Most of us feel guilty about having such a battle. Of course, we may not like the feeling, but the two laws operating on our bodies should give us occasion to praise God. If a battle is being raged within you, that's a good thing because it indicates that the Spirit is alive. I really got a lot of comfort out of that message and realized that what it is that the Spirit really does and accomplishes through us. We are truly blessed that we have a loving God who would send His Spirit to dwell inside our bodies and guide us through this journey of life that we're all on. Well, how long has the Spirit been with us? He's been with us since the beginning of recorded history in God's holy word. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Genesis 1:2. The Holy Spirit has been with us since the very beginning of time, since God formed this earth. Well, why do we need the filling of the Holy Spirit? I want you to consider very carefully the last words our Lord spoke as He met with His disciples on the Mount of Olives, just moments before He ascended into heaven. Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a wonderful promise that Jesus gave to us just before He ascended back to the Father in heaven. And you know, there's one thing that we know about God's promises. He's faithful and He keeps them, every one. He has not broken a promise yet. And there are promises yet to come. Jesus went on to tell his disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Well, what was Jesus suggesting by these words that he had spoken? Though you may have been with me for 3 years or more, it's not enough that you have heard me teach the multitudes. You have seen me heal the sick and even raise the dead. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to be effective and fruitful as my witnesses throughout the world. He's not just talking to those disciples. He's talking to each and every one of us. We are his disciples in this current age. And we're to follow that same commandment that he gave to his disciples, the Great Commission. We're to take his word out into a lost and dying world. You know, if you talk to some of the folks that just returned from the mission trip to Cleveland, Ohio, I'm sure they can tell you something about how the Holy Spirit worked in their lives during that trip, because I know he was with them. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That's what it's all about. We're to be fishers of men. First century Christians, controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with his love, turned the world upside down. As the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they received a divine, supernatural power that changed them from fearful men to radiant witnesses for Christ. The disciples were used by God to change the course of history. And this same power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is available to each and every one of us, and to enable us to live holy and fruitful lives for Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4 reads, "When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability of speech." Well, who is the Holy Spirit and why did God send him? The Holy Spirit is God. He is not a ghost or a concept. He is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. There is only one God, but he manifests himself in three persons, whom we call the Trinity. We cannot define the Trinity. Nobody can. Dr. Wilbur Smith stated, "The man who denies the Trinity will lose his soul. The man who tries to understand the Trinity will lose his mind." We, who are infinite, cannot comprehend God, who is infinite. We have limits. God has no limits. As much as I and you would like to know about the Trinity, some of our questions will have to wait until we're with the Lord in eternity. You know, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus never referred to it when he was talking about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 15, and 16, for example, he spoke of the Holy Spirit as he, because he is not a force or a thing, but a person. He speaks. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in God's paradise. Revelation 2:7. Think about that for a minute. As victors, as the children of God, as people who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a promise from our Heavenly Father that we will be able to eat from the tree of life, which is in His paradise. What a wonderful promise. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them to do." Acts 13:2. So we know that the Spirit speaks to us as He has in the past. Why did God send the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit came to glorify Christ and to lead believers to all truth. The Holy Spirit came to enable you to know Christ through a new birth and give you the power to live and share the abundant life which Jesus promised to all who trust Him and obey Him. Don't answer me, but I want you to think in your own hearts about the day that you surrendered your life to Jesus. Remember the tremendous feeling that came over you. You wanted to tell the whole world about the experience that you had just had. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all have that feeling again, so that we could go out into a lost and dying world and tell them what Jesus means to us and could mean to them? It was the Holy Spirit that inspired men of old to write the Holy Scriptures. And as you read the Bible, He reveals its truth to you. You know, you can read a passage and read it and read it, and at the right time, the Spirit will bring that particular passage to life for you. And you'll have a clear and understanding of what God is teaching you. The Bible, God's holy word, is a living book inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot live a holy life apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. It is impossible to know Christ apart from the regenerating ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus himself who said, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John 3:5. Jesus was talking with Nicodemus here. Now let's see how this conversation unfolded. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs that you do unless God was with him." Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with Christ. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Christ. Therefore, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I am abiding in Christ. I am walking in the light as He is the light. And the blood of Christ will cleanse and keep on cleansing me from all unrighteousness. This amazing fact that Christ lives in you and expresses His love through you is one of the most important truths of the Word of God. The standards of the Christian life are so high and so impossible to achieve. According to the Word of God, the only one person has ever been able to succeed. That person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So now, through His indwelling presence, He wants to enable all who place their trust in Him to live this same supernatural life. Bearing spiritual fruit because of Christ living in you. If you are willing for Jesus Christ to live His resurrection life in and through you, you will bear spiritual fruit as naturally as a healthy vine will bear an abundance of fruit. Jesus said, "My Father is glorified by this. You produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." I think this is pretty important for us to consider. You can be a great preacher. You can be a Christian scholar. You can be a deacon or an elder. You can attend church regularly, live a clean moral life, memorize hundreds of verses and scripture, direct a church choir, and teach Sunday school. But if you're not bearing fruit in the sense that you are introducing others to Christ, you are not filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. And I believe that goes for the church also. If the church is filled and bearing and being led by the Holy Spirit of God, we will be about His business, bearing good fruit and introducing others to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, how does the Holy Spirit change you from inside out? Not only do you receive power for witnessing when you're filled with the Spirit, but your personality begins to change also. As you continue to walk in the control of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit becomes increasingly obvious in your life. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul explains, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Do not seek an emotional or mystical experience. The Word of God must be the basis for your spiritual growth. When the emphasis of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is in proper balance in your life, the result is a life of power and great fruitfulness in which our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is honored and glorified. These that I have just read to you, I took from an article by Dr. Bill Bright, the co-founder of the Campus Crusade for Life. I think I'm going to run out of time here. I had a lot of other stuff I wanted to cover with you, but, well, we'll just continue this on next Sunday. So, let me just skip down here a bit. Just bear with me for a second. I'll get there. So, in closing, as the pianist comes and plays softly for us, I want to reiterate once again the words of Charles Spurgeon as he called the church to receive and live up to the full potential of the Holy Spirit. A church without the Spirit is a church without the life of God. A church without the Spirit is powerless to do mighty things. Let us pray. Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we ask you for guidance and wisdom, that you would bring your Holy Spirit fully alive in our church. We also ask, Father, that if there is anyone here this morning who has not been saved and accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would do so today. For we do not know what tomorrow will bring. And I would say that with all heads bowed and eyes closed, that the altar is open. If you are feeling led by the Holy Spirit, or if you just want to say a prayer, the altar is open.